can also lead to, putting yourself out there. This is obviously very different. This is more like one to one, right? This is like one to like mass, like putting yourself out there. I'm probably the wrong person to ask in terms of one to mass putting yourself out there, which is why I didn't take that. But one to one, I think Twitter, direct messaging, emailing as well can work. I think it's all about the actual message that you put when it comes to like copy of the Twitter DM or the email. There's obviously a craft to it.
So hi everyone. So today we have a phenomenal guest who is Sri, of Chief of Staff to Lenny, Chief of Staff to Shreyas Doshi, and also does his own freelancing on the side. So I would first like to start from your podcast with Sharad. You opened up a bit about how you moved around a lot. So what did you kind of learn from that experience of moving around, like as an international nomad, kind of like international kid, you could say, like what did you learn from that experience? And this is also come a question that I'm curious about, given that I've also grown up internationally outside of my home country or whatever you want to call it. So could you just share a bit on that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, one, you've definitely done a bit of research, which I appreciate. I moved around quite a fair bit until I was 18. I grew up half my life in Asia and Australia. Born in Bangkok and then moved to Australia. I finished like primary school and where I learned English, and then moved to Delhi, New Delhi in India for around 5 years, where like loosely I'd say what middle school is. I finished before then moving to Europe, where I spent most of the second half of my life, finished high school in Vienna, Austria, and then studied in the UK, took my first job in Ireland before moving out to the Bay. Until I was 18, it wasn't my choice, it was like just my parents who decided to make these moves just to ensure like the best possible future for us. One, in terms of just the place they wanted to raise their kids, and secondly, like kind of economic, financial stability for them, And I think they got it in Vienna, Austria. So they've been there for 15 years. What that kind of taught me, maybe just going to, specifically to your question, I think as a kid, to be honest, it's a lot easier than it is like now. Like I'm now 28. I think one, as a kid, you just like go with it, You're just like, oh, this is like a new adventure kind of a thing. You're obviously sad when you leave, but you also make friends, I think in that way, it was much easier for me and my sister than, for example, for our parents. I think it taught me how to just put myself out there like a bit more, because, if you're not really putting effort, if I'm just reading a book in class, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's the only thing I'm doing, right, I'm not making an effort to engage or to like put myself out there, right, then I probably wouldn't have any friends anywhere that I moved to. I think that's number one. I got more comfortable with just like putting myself out there, just trying to like talk to people, whether that's strangers in like a public space or whether that's like in a business setting. I think one thing that I've taken with me now when I move around is like if I'm new somewhere, I'll host events myself, And I think that I'm sure there are traces of why I feel comfortable doing that, why I feel comfortable like going up to people in a co-working space and being to people who don't necessarily want that because of the way that I grew up. Because if I didn't do that when I was a kid, I wouldn't have no friends. That's number one. But then two, moving around to places with very different cultures, right? Like Sydney to New Delhi, right? I was 7 when I made that move, and then New Delhi to Vienna. Yeah, I was 12 when I made that move. Very, very different, right? Like from language to like people, customs, religion, like you name it, right? It's not moving right from like say London to Manchester or like to different cities within the US or maybe even different cities within like India. It just, it's you're moving continents. I think it made me just appreciate people like from different places. I have like a very big curiosity for people in general. My partner notices this, that when we travel and I'm able to detect someone's accent, or I can't quite place where they might be from, that I get very curious in terms of like how they grew up, where they grew up, like how something was, I'm very, very interested with this, like whether it's like different religions, you know, or whether it's just different upbringings. I'm just very, very curious. I think the world is such a big place, and I, you know, which I probably have traveled more than the average person. I still think I've barely scratched the surface. Those are probably two, and I think the last one is probably, like, I think sometimes we as people just, like, make up larger, like, bigger differences amongst people than, like, necessary, you know? Like, I see similarities between some of my friends in, like, Delhi than that I had in, like, Vienna, Austria, you know? Or, like, in Mexico City, where I spent 6 months in. You know, I really think there are, like, similarities between cultures. And I think because we physically look, sometimes can look very different, right? People from different parts of the world, I think we sometimes, like, exaggerate that, you know? And I see that, fortunately, more in, like, news and with, like, politics. And I think it's a bit sad. I don't know. Those are probably two, three things, you know, along the way. There's obviously a huge list, but for brevity's sake, I'll stop here.
So I really appreciate your curious nature and, like, what you discussed. And I feel also that for me also personally, like, this is the first time announcing this on the podcast, but I'll be moving soon to Bangalore for an internship, a short internship stint. And so it's going to be way different for me than, say, when I went to the US, because the culture is different, the language is different. And so, yeah, so that's also there. So my next question is, so you touched on, like, putting yourself out there. So how can anyone today, like, what is your top tip of how anyone today can put themselves out there online and start building these connections with people, like, either through their content, podcasting, or, like, what's your recommendation of how one can put themselves online based on your experiences and, like, what you've learned? Like, what could you distill or share for the audience today?
Yeah. I start off by saying, like, firstly, I'm by no means, like, a prolific content creator. Right? I'm gonna have my own brilliant podcast, like, for example, you do, right? A newsletter like Lenny does, or a large following that, like, Chris does, you know? I don't publish content on a consistent basis at all. I can't remember the last time I posted on LinkedIn, you know? Maybe made, like, 5 posts in the last 5 years or something like that. But in terms of how to get started, you don't necessarily have to go super public, right? I think this is such a personality question. Like, some people are more comfortable with, like, publicly just, like, you know, putting themselves out there, like, 3 days, like, 5 times a day. If you're not like that and comfortable like that, there are other ways to go about it. And for me, yes, I have found, like, tremendous value in Twitter. If you're interested in tech, if you're interested in, like, venture, you know, I think Twitter is such a great place, and specifically, like, DMs, at least for other people that have DMs open, right? If, you know, you're hesitant to put yourself out there, personality, maybe work reasons, whatever that is, right? I think just direct messaging someone can be great. I also think email is such an underrated functionality sometimes, as overused as it can be for, you know, brand companies. I think emailing individuals can also lead to, you know, putting yourself out there. This is obviously very different. This is more like one-to-one, right? This is like one to, like, mass, like, putting yourself out there. I'm probably the wrong person to ask in terms of one-to-mass putting yourself out there, which is why I didn't take that. One-to-one, I think Twitter, direct messaging, you know, emailing as well can work. I think it's all about the actual message that you put when it comes to, like, the copy of the Twitter DM or the email. There's obviously a craft to it.
Of course, and I think Twitter DMs and emailing have been really game changer for me, especially with this podcast. Like, I think me and you connected over the DMs, and I found out about you through someone's podcast, I guess. And so, yeah, so emailing has also been game changer for me. I've gotten a ton of phenomenal guests from it as well, and a ton of supporters and people who support me, who reach out through the DMs and stuff. So, yeah, so my next question to you is, so how did that actually transpire that you became the chief of staff to Lenny and Shreyas Doshi? Like, Could you just share, like, how did all that come about? Like, for the audience that's curious also, like, who are Lenny and who is Shreyas Doshi? Like, what could you share about them? And what do you admire about them as well? Like, why did you, like, have such a calling that you knew that you had to work for these people in particular?
Yeah, for sure. Take it as, like, who are they? How did I get to know them? Maybe roughly, like, what at least we do. Do those three sections kind of, like, make sense to go into?
Yeah, definitely.
Got it. Who are they? Lenny is a newsletter writer. You can find him on Lenny's newsletter. And he also does podcasts. Lenny's podcast. He writes and talks about product management and entrepreneurship. He would typically have senior product folks. Tech companies, and you would have founders from previous startups, or I guess like first-stage startups, come on the podcast or newsletter to share advice, kind of talk through certain journeys. It's really taken off over the past. I think you only started it maybe just north of over 3 years, and it's been a while just to see that growth, like. Shreyas Doshi does quite a few things similar to Lenny's. He teaches a online court-based course, which you can find on Lenny.com, on helping product managers for years. But he's also a startup advisor. He does talks as well, and he tweets some fantastic content. He's also increasingly more on LinkedIn, too. Sorry, I should have gone into what Lenny did before. I'll finish off with Shreyas. Shreyas used to work as a product manager and a product leader in quite a few companies. He was currently at Google, Twitter, and Stripe. I think he was the first or one of the early product managers at Stripe, and part of the one of the Paulson brothers, who are the co-founders of Stripe. So he really has very tenured experience at some of the most iconic tech companies that we know. Today was in 2023. I mean, like when they were explosively growing, he was there. Lenny, he was a founder of a company. I think, let me just make sure I get this right. Was it called Local Mind? He founded a company called Local Mind. It got acquired by Airbnb. He worked at Airbnb for a number of years before then leaving. I think he maybe took some time off, but then he started to do this newsletter. I admire both of them because, like, well, firstly, I knew who they were for years before they know that I even existed. Why? Because I was a huge fan of content. I was reading Lenny's content, his newsletter, almost religiously. I used to be a manager. And that's also how I knew Shreyas long before he even knew who I was. I used to follow him on LinkedIn or Twitter. Because his content really resonated and helped me get there. So, the way I kind of thought about it is like, okay, like, it's so cool to be able to like, work with them directly, to learn from them, at times also just like, get actionable advice from them on how to get better. If I was still working at like LinkedIn and Upwork, which is my next full time jobs, I feel like, my manager could very well be, like reading, listening to the things that they would share. And then like my VP or chief product officer would probably be too, and I just feel like while working for them directly, I can cut off that like middle management kind of like layer and hear from them directly, learn from them directly. I know this to be somewhat true because I helped Shreyas out with the course, with his managing PM career course, and I've met people from LinkedIn, met people from work who could very well have been like my bosses, I'm very fortunate to be able to like learn from them. Hopefully that gives you a bit in terms of like who they are, why I feel compelled to work with them for them. I think the last bit was just around how I came to know them, right? I think a chance, if someone was telling me this I think a few days ago, I was at an Irish wedding, and someone was saying, like, you know, nothing's really ever just my luck. And that's probably true, but I think fortune, you know, like, I definitely like had a good slice of like, good fortune and luck that helps you with things. I've been writing now probably for over 2 years at this point. I knew him because I was pretty active on his then relatively nascent Slack community, and he was looking for more help. I think there was a community manager at the time called Queen, and I think she was stepping away. So I think she and then Lenny reached out to me like, hey, you know, like, we'd love some extra help. Would you be Dean? I had a short chat with Lenny and kind of agreed to help him out like 4 to 5 hours a week, you know? For me, this was great at the time because, like I said, I was a huge fan of Lenny. I was taking some time off. I'd quit my BMSF job a couple of months ago, so it was a great way to work with someone I'd admired for a long time and earn a bit of side money while I was like taking, you know, a few months off work. I think since we met 2 years ago, it's just grown and grown. You know, like at the beginning it was just like, help me take care of the Slack, you know, because he's obviously focused on writing exceptional content on for the newsletter. So I was like, yeah, sure. And I think with time I just, you know, would read every single message on public channels on Slack and, you know, kind of realize like, hey, there's so much opportunity to like do more here. So as we've discovered, as we've tested things out, as we've done initiatives, my responsibilities have like grown as a result. And that was 2 years ago. How I came to know Shreyas. So I used to run my own startup. I left around this time like a year ago. With Lenny, I used to work with him while still doing the startup, but tried to keep it about 5 hours a week max, just to help with cash flow, so I could basically take no salary for my startup, and also try to limit it to like, you know, Sunday afternoons or something like that. You know, but when I left this time a year ago, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I thought I could go down really like 2 or 3 routes, you know. Was either early stage startup that I really liked the founders, where I could go back to be a product manager or chief of staff, consider moving over to the investing side, so early stage venture capital. I really thought these three things were the only things that I could do or would be interested in. When I told Lenny I was leaving, I think, you know, we had both had seen there being plenty of opportunity for me to do more just with the community. So he mentioned, you know, like if I'd be open to doing more, helping him out more with a bunch of things, helping lead a few things. And I said, yes. And then I also told him like, hey, while I kind of interview, while I figure out what I really want, you know, let me know if there's anyone else, you know, like that could need like a bit of help. And Lenny actually then introduced me to Shreyas maybe like a few weeks later. You know, similar process, had a chat with Shreyas, decided to do a bit of like a trial working period just to see if we can work well together. You know, thankfully, that's coming up to, at least it's been, I'd say, like 9 months now. That's also been working out well.
Wow, that was extremely comprehensive. And I really love the way that you talked about Lenny and Shreyas and like how you got in touch with them, how they discovered you and how you kind of knew about them way before you got the job, basically. So you're doing your homework even before you got the job. And I think that's really crucial to do your homework before you get the job, before you get into the podcast, before you get into anything. And so given that you've been closely involved with Lenny's journey and Lenny's growth, and you've been a personal cheerleader for him, so what do you think contributed to his skyrocketing success, like on YouTube, on Twitter, on X now as it's formally known? Like, what, as an insider, like, could you just share, like, what do you think contributed to his growth?
I mean, honestly, I think it's his exceptional content and the consistency that he publishes it. I really think it's like down to both those things. I think I was like listening to a podcast with Harry Stebbings a few months ago, and he was saying something like, you know, most podcast folks, you know, don't get past publishing, can't remember the thing, maybe like 5 episodes, 10 episodes, or whatever it is, you know. And, you know, I think with Lenny, with the newsletter and then the podcast, he's nailed the consistency aspect of it. But I think it's also just exceptional content, you know, like a lot of people really re-listen to the stuff, repost, retweet the stuff. And, you know, that's kind of like the best kind of like organic growth, like to my not understanding. And I'd say I have a pretty good one of this. I'm not sure if I've ever done anything around like paid marketing to promote the newsletter or the podcast for consumers to read it or consume it, you know? So in a nutshell, really exceptional content and like consistency.
Yeah, I think that's great that, you know, Lenny has done so much consistency and he's got such an exceptional bank of content. So now let's transition more into you. So you are a freelancer and you're doing a lot of different things over the last 2 years, including small checks into startups and so many different initiatives. And I'm just impressed by like everything that you've done. You were part of OnDeck, I believe. You're part of Soma Fellows. You're doing so many amazing things. So like, what have you been up to these last 3 years? Let's just close it off with that.
Yeah, for sure. I think you already have a good understanding of what I've been up to. I guess to like summarize it, I started off my career in more like classical big tech. Was it like LinkedIn doing corporate strategy and analytics? And then moved over to Upwork to be a product manager. That was probably like the first stage of my career, kind of like classical, you know, full time employment at like public company. The second stage, which I alluded to or touched upon, was then, you know, took some time off around 6 months to figure out what I wanted to do. And increasingly thought like, okay, I really feel alive when I'm like bouncing ideas off and like trying to like get something off the ground. And then met my co-founder through our next co-founder matching, as you mentioned. Just tried by building my first startup, you know, zero in revenue or close to, took it to maybe, by the time I left, like around a year later, I think it was at around 50K, maybe just a bit over, raised some money in like an angel round. We had like a team of 4 people. You know, it's probably like the second stage where I feel like I aged the most, where I probably had high highs, low lows, you know. It was great, honestly. Learned a lot. And then the next stage, and the last one, I feel like I'm all at now, took a bit of time to figure it out and kind of just discovered this, like, I think people have different names for it. Freelancer, independent work, you know, like consulting. I personally don't really care too much for job titles, you know, so like whatever it is, I'm enjoying doing it. And I think it's been very interesting. I really didn't know what I was going to do this time last year. Probably took me up until December to like figure it out. I wasn't actually part of Soma Fellows as part of SUSE Ventures fellowship program, because at the time, as I mentioned, when I left the startup, I was like, okay, join an early stage startup as like product manager or chief of staff, or maybe consider VC. And that's why I joined SUSE's Venture Fellowship Program. They should open the applications over the next few weeks. So if you're based in the U.S., if you're a full-time like professional and have been working for a few years and curious about VC, you should strongly consider that program, in my opinion. And, you know, so that fellowship program from SUSE was really good just to understand if I wanted to maybe become like a full-time VC. And while I was doing that, you know, was also like understanding what Lenny's and I work relationship could be. I was getting to know Shreyas, you know, like this time last year, maybe a little bit later. And then I also had the kind of people at the Weekend Fun, Ryan Hoover and Vedika Jain, who I interviewed with for, I think, like a part-time position at the time, because I was only interested in doing part-time, but I figured out what I wanted to do full-time. I didn't work out with them, as in they went with candidates, but I think they liked me enough, you know, where they said, hey, people we like, and choosing can share your profile with like some of their favorites, car nesters, LPs. So through a kind of like Lenny introducing Tris and then Ryan Hoover and Vedika Jain passing my profile around, by December I had like a bunch of intros, like a bunch of people that I was figuring out whether I wanted to work with, and obviously they wanted to work with me. And you know, December 2022 was the first time where I was like, oh wow, I think I could really like build something for myself here, like freelance wise or working for like say 3, 4, 5, 6 people, you know. I think in the end I went with like, okay, like let's just double down on Tris. I think that's because I've been following them for a while. I used to be a product manager myself, you know, so really believed in the content, really admired the content that they put out. And then at the same time, their main like consumers in a way is product managers. So I felt like I could also just relate to the audience that they have like a lot more. So that's kind of my journey over the 3 stages, like classical, full-time employment, kind of figuring out what I wanted to build and trying that, taking it from 0 to whatever you want to call it. And then lastly, discovering this like career path, like independent working, freelancing for say more than one person. I didn't even think this job existed like a year ago, you know, like I did not know that you could do it, or maybe that it was for me, you know, which is a bit interesting because I used to work for Upwork where there's like full-time freelancers, even there's a lot of part-time, but also like full-time. I guess to me, just yeah, didn't picture it or didn't know that I could do it. So it's been really interesting. I'd say that I'm pretty happy right now, which I wasn't always, I'd say, over the past year and a half.
I think you've shared a lot of great insights, and definitely there are a lot more questions we could have covered, but given that it's only under 30 minutes, yeah, I think we have enough content for today. So yeah, it was an absolute honor and pleasure to host you on the podcast today. And do share how the audience can get in touch with you and like how they can connect with you. And what are the next steps if anyone wants to get in touch? Like how can they pitch to you or anything? Like what else would you like to share with the audience?
Yeah, I mean, if you find any of this interesting or figuring out things yourself, I've done it for a bunch of figuring out, I would say, over the past 2.5 years. Feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. It's Dr. Dre with a Shre, or if email is easier, just Shre, Shre, juicymomos.com. Juicy how it's spelled, and momos as in momos.com. More than happy to chat or help in any small way that I can. And thank you for having me, Rui. I hope you have, you know, a fantastic time in. Is it Bangalore that you're moving to? If I remember correctly.
Yes, I'm going there only for a short time, like 1 to 2 months. I'll be working at a VC arm over there. And nice. Yeah, so I'm excited to go, but I'm a bit apprehensive because it's going to be a whole new like culture for me. And I've only gone to India like during the holidays and stuff, not really stayed there for like longer than a month. So it's going to be like a way different experience.
Well, all the best with it, honestly. I know, like, with Lenny's, you have meetups in, like, Bangalore. So, you know, that's something that I'm interested in. Just, obviously, having you. But thank you for having me on.
So, if you're listening to this podcast right now, I have an open opportunity to reach this audience. So, if you want to reach college students and freshers interested in startups and venture capital, and just in terms of the demographics, the age of 18 to 22 is the highest age demographic in India, and US are the 2 largest country demographics of listeners for this podcast. Email me at bizpodruhi@gmail.com. So thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode, and hope you've learned something new.